Our scripture reading for this morning. Yeah, and you know, somebody else could do communion if that's what we have to do, but I'll do my best. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 33rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And I'll talk for just a moment about the significance of the book of Jeremiah, but this is a word that Jeremiah receives from the Lord at a time of desolation and very difficult times. So hear these words. Thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say it is a waste without human beings or animals, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without inhabitants, human or animal, there shall be heard once more the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land at first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without human beings or animals, and in all its towns, there shall again be pasture for shepherds resting their flocks. In the towns of the hill country of the Shephelah and of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. I read recently online about a phenomenon that has been happening in rural mountainous Italy in the last few years. And that is that for various reasons, a lot of small villages, really small villages that would have maybe just a few hundred people or maybe as many as 1,000, are experiencing a significant drop in population, and some of them are almost abandoned. So many villages, the ones that have people left, are trying various things to see if they can get people to come back and to live in the villages. There's one particular village, whose name I can't pronounce, which is offering houses for the sum of €1 a piece, which is probably, I think, about $1.50. The condition is that you have to repair it, and I think you have to live in it as well. So there's a catch for that. And apparently some people are taking advantage of that. Well, this really started a while back, and there was one village in Italy that the population was really, really down significantly. Now, this is bad enough in some places where actually if you go on eBay, you can actually buy an Italian village on eBay. So this is what's going on. So about 20 years ago, a man named Daniel Kilgren, who's is part Italian, was riding his motorbike along the Italian countryside, enjoying the beautiful hilly country, and he rode through a small village named Santo Stefano di Sassanio. It was a village at the time that had about 100 people. At one time, it had several thousand. And as you can imagine, most of the houses were empty. And it was mostly older people. And there was very little life there. Being an entrepreneur and having money to burn, he bought up 1/4 of the houses in the village. I don't know how many that is, but 1/4 of it. And decided that he was going to start what he called an albergo diffuso, which is a rolling hotel or an extended hotel. And that's what he did. He had the different houses that are scattered throughout the village are, they're almost like a bed and breakfast, and then of course there's a main house where the hotel is. And an amazing thing happened. People began to move in, and they bought the houses that were empty. And people established restaurants and art galleries and shops and small craft shops where local things were made. And it now has become a major tourist destination. And all these old stone houses, some of them 700 or 800 years old, have been restored, and there are pots of plants out on the front porches, and the image that you would have in mind of a small, cozy Italian village. And this village has literally been brought back from the dead by the vision of this one man. Now, why talk about this? Well, this passage today is very much about vision and about rebuilding and what it takes to do that. The context is that things have run their course. People have abandoned Jerusalem and the surrounding villages because an army is approaching that is going to conquer and destroy. And so with the threat of invasion, people took off. Happens all the time, still happens today. And Jeremiah hears God speaking to him and telling him to preach that things are going to get better. Now, that might have been a tough sell at this particular point, because if you pick up and grab whatever is portable and run away from your home, most people do not do that lightly, but they had. And in the vision that Jeremiah is given, homes will be occupied and people will be getting married and raising families and doing all the things that happen in a thriving community. And there will be shepherds to guide their sheep and all the rest. Now, what Jeremiah does not say is how this is going to happen, but we can draw some clues from this. Well, first, there's a vision. There's a vision. Jeremiah has a vision that Jerusalem will be rebuilt, people will be living there, and it will be a thriving community again. Which would be a pretty tough thing for people to hear if they're abandoning their homes with an army approaching. But this is a promise that we can still hear. A promise that God will always be with us. A promise of renewal for Christ's church. But it starts with a vision. If this man had not gone through that Italian village on that day, perhaps he might have gone through another one and done the same thing. He wouldn't have had the vision to bring it back to life. Now, the thing about a vision is that it is not just a vision and stays a vision. In order for a vision to become reality, people need to act on it. So as we think about our theme today, what shall we bring? What shall we bring? There are three things that we can bring as we consider what it is that we're being called to do. One is to be willing to work with a vision. God won't do it alone. We're not just going to wake up some morning and have things totally different. You have to work with a vision and being willing to work with a vision. The churches in this country have come into a very challenging time. Hasn't been like this for a long time. We live in a time that for institutional churches, you can't take anything for granted. You can't rely on assumptions, and you can't always rely on the way you did things in the past. I won't be here, but I wonder what the church will be like 50 years from now. I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm not sure that anybody does. But what we know about a vision is that it is active. It is not static. It is not just a matter of praying that someone will leave any given congregation $1 million or so and that it'll happen and then everything is back to the way it was before. We can't count on that. In order for a vision to be active, everybody's got to take part. Everybody has to take part. Second thing we bring is a willingness to worship. One of the things in Jeremiah's vision is that people will be singing. He talks about hearing voices. Voices singing thanks to God. We need to be willing to sing and to worship. Worship is at the very heart of what we do as a church. Everything that we do flows from our worship. And it goes far beyond just what happens on Sunday morning. What we do to build our relationship with God during the week is just as important as what happens here on Sunday mornings. And what worship will do and singing of thanks will be to help us to look at everything that we do as a reflection of our faith. What we can bring is that willingness to give thanks always and to sing those thanks to God for what God has already done. Last thing is to roll up our sleeves and to get to work. This is what we are called to do. Again, God is not going to simply wave a magic wand and things change suddenly. God has already given us abundant resources. God has already given us abundant resources. Just look at what happened this morning. As we found out that Mary wasn't going to be here to direct the music, Dave stepped up and is directing the choir and accompanying us on the cello. Liz stepped up and did a prelude for us. We have abundant resources, each one of us. And those resources are different. Some of those resources may be more gifts and talents and not so much money. Others bring richness and wealth. We all have resources to bring. What can we bring? It's going to depend on you. What we bring, in the end, is ourselves. In order for God's vision of restoration and renewal to happen, God needs us. God needs all the resources that we have. And God needs our willingness to sing and our hands and feet. Amen.